Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest right here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck, and thanks for joining me. Here's the top news for the week ending December 4th. U.S. Senator John Thune says he's in favor of an effort to repeal part of the Affordable Care Act now making its way through Congress. The move fulfills a promise made by many in the GOP to see the act removed. But President Obama is expected to veto any repeal effort. Some in South Dakota worry repealing the act would hurt Native Americans and those in the state who lack adequate health care coverage. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray has the story.
South Dakota's U.S. Senator John Thune says the Affordable Care Act has failed. He supports repealing a number of provisions within the act.
The law was sold as a health care solution, but it's turned out to be yet another health care problem. And I've heard from countless South Dakotans over the last 5.5 years about the damage that's been caused by this fundamentally flawed law.
Thune says the repeal making its way through the Senate would not impact efforts to improve funding for the Indian Health Service. But others say the Affordable Care Act is crucial for Indian country. Geraldine Church is the CEO for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board. She says throwing out the Affordable Care Act now does more harm than good.
You know, is there room for improvement? Certainly. But I think those are issues that can be worked through and addressed. You know, I trust that the lawmakers can come together to identify the areas that need improvement, but still really utilize the ACA for the betterment of everyone's health.
The bill before the Senate phases out the expansion of Medicaid taken on by some states under the ACA. Senator Thune says expanded Medicaid would be replaced with a different program, giving states more flexibility. But Geraldine Church says expanding Medicaid in states like South Dakota helps Native people meet health care needs.
The deadline looms for seniors who want insurance plans to help cover the cost of prescription drugs. Monday is the last day to enroll in or change Medicare Part D insurance plans. As SDPB's Keely Boltina reports, one expert says seniors should find out whether they can benefit from prescription drug coverage, even if they're already enrolled.
Medicare Part D plans are private health insurance from private companies that are subsidized by the federal government. That means seniors pay for the drug plans, but they don't have to cover the full cost of the insurance out of pocket. Mike Fierberg is a spokesperson for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid.
It's a little hard to believe now, looking back, but until about 10 years ago, Medicare didn't cover prescription drugs at all. Prescription drugs are such an important element of good health care, especially for beneficiaries over the age of 65, the vast majority of whom take one or more medications daily, that it's really important to get some help in paying for them because, as we all know, most of these medications can be very, very expensive.
Fierberg says even people who already have Medicare Part D plans should compare their insurance to other options. He says Medicare.gov allows people to enter prescription names, dosages, and frequencies to discover which plan covers all of a person's medicines at the lowest price.
The point is the system will figure out how much each available plan in South Dakota is going to cost, giving consideration to the premium, the deductible, and the copays. You will be asked to specify a couple of pharmacies where you like to get your prescriptions, and the system will also tell you if you can save money by doing mail order instead, which in most cases you can. Then it will rank all the available plans with the cheapest overall cost at the top.
Fierberg says people already enrolled in Part D plans will see their current coverage cost at the top of the page, so they can easily see whether an insurance switch can cover their medicines and save them money.
A volunteer group in Rapid City is dressing as popular animated characters to bring smiles to children in need. SDPB's China Lockett has more on this magical story.
Charisse Tatum opens the gate to Storybook Island, revealing an elaborate setup of Christmas lights. She walks to a small dressing room in the gift shop. Tatum is the founder of the volunteer group Bunny's Heroes. Performers from Bunny's Heroes dress as popular animated film characters, such as Disney princesses and superheroes, and interact with children. Tatum plays Merida from Disney's Brave. She says the group aims to bring magic and smiles to kids who don't usually experience it. She falls in and out of a Scottish accent as she prepares her costume.
One of my favorite parts is that big smile, that great big smile where they see magic and hope come alive in front of them. If you do go and say like a wee sick one that has cancer and you just don't know if they're going to make it, it's just really super hard to be those kind of characters for them, because you have to try to be upbeat and give them hope, but also not give them false hope either.
Bunny's Heroes performs with local organizations such as the Make-A-Wish Foundation and Relay for Life. Tatum says each volunteer can make a difference to some child in need.
There's some heroes that even if they don't want to believe in magic, that they open up to. I've seen some of these kids who were from abusive families and stuff like that, and so they're just afraid to believe in magic or to even trust anybody. And the minute they see Spider-Man, it's gone. They're just like, it's Spider-Man, and they can connect with him.
Tatum finishes getting dressed and goes to greet families entering Storybook Island's Christmas lights display. She says each night they try to help bring the magic of the park to life.
Huron has a population of about 13,000 people, but it contains the diversity you might expect in a larger city. Almost 40% of the students in the school system were in an English language acquisition program at some point. Many are Karen refugees from Burma and Thailand. SDPB's Jennifer Jones has more.
Huron Mayor Paul Elward says the city went through some tough times. Packing plants shut down, the town lost its university, and the population was declining. Eventually, a turkey processing plant opened. To fill the jobs, leaders started recruiting Karen refugees who were living in the Twin Cities.
I think we had to make a decision as a community. Do we want to embrace this and try to make our community survive and thrive? Or do we want to just stay the status quo and keep declining? And the turkey plant was really an opportunity and a choice. And I think that's what the people said is, yes, we want to try to grow. And if this is what it takes, if this is what our community is going to look like, I believe the majority of the people are accepting of that.
Elward says Huron's changing demographics bring a few challenges. The biggest, he says, is the language barrier. John Taylor is an English language acquisition instructor at Cornerstone's Career Learning Center. He says people from 12 countries come here to learn.
The students that we've worked with have been very kind, very caring, very dedicated. They not only want to learn the language, but they want to learn our customs and culture, which we teach a lot of that.
New U.S. citizen Ka Zon lived in a refugee camp in Thailand for 10 years before coming to the United States. He says there's a lot to like about Huron.
Because the small city, and they don't have much fighting and quiet. Also have a better job for the employee here, and also have more friends here.
English instructor John Taylor says residents have embraced their new neighbors. He says the key to interacting with someone from a different culture is to be kind, show respect, and have patience.
For many people, the holidays are a time when the family gathers for a festive meal. But for people struggling to afford food, this may not be the case. Feeding South Dakota recently held its fifth annual turkey drive to provide families in need with a Thanksgiving meal. SDPB's China Lockett reports.
A line of cars nearly a quarter of a mile long filed into the parking lot of Feeding South Dakota's Turkey Drive early one morning in Rapid City. Volunteers dressed in thick coats placed turkeys and grocery bags filled with food for a Thanksgiving meal in the cars as they passed.
Have a good day. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
Feeding South Dakota held turkey drives in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. 500 turkeys were given away in both locations during the event. Debbie Renner is a development associate for Feeding South Dakota and Rapid City.
It was really fun to be able to help people and to visit with them, and many of them were really grateful. We heard a lot that we had made their Thanksgiving, that without us, they wouldn't have been able to have that special meal.
Renner says that this event isn't much different from what the organization normally does, but that the need for food is greater during the holidays. Feeding South Dakota's agencies will distribute the remaining turkeys. Jennifer Stensas is a development associate for Feeding South Dakota in Sioux Falls. She says more people are in need than the agency can provide.
Our goal this year is to provide 2,500 turkeys to our agencies and families in need across the state. On average, we're seeing hundreds of families, possibly even to the thousands, every month through our pantries in Sioux Falls and in Rapid City. But this is a realistic goal for us this year, And we're hoping that any little bit that we can provide will help provide a holiday meal to a struggling family in need in our areas.
The event is just one of the efforts in South Dakota to feed people in need during the holiday season. The annual turkey drive is scheduled to take place next year as well.
A forensic economist says the independent audit of Mid-Central Educational Cooperative's financial dealings with the Gear Up program shows no major wrongdoing. The audit was completed after two employees of Mid-Central and their four children died in what investigators call a murder-suicide, shortly after the state terminated its contract with the cooperative. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray has the story.
Don Frankenfeld is a forensic economist in Rapid City. He did not take part in the independent audit just released by the Eddie Bailey accounting firm. But after an initial reading, Frankenfeld calls the audit a well-done report.
However, it occurs to me that this audit is sort of a productive first step. There's more to be discovered.
Frankenfeld says the audit turned up some minor discrepancies, showing what he calls some sloppy accounting procedures at the cooperative, but no major obvious problems. He says a second, more extensive audit is needed to take a deeper look at each of the paid vendors.
Yeah, I think enough has happened. Red flags, as they say, including the tragic deaths of two people who worked at the co-op and their children. Enough questions, I think, have been raised that I think a thorough analysis is appropriate, particularly when we're talking about more than $6 million of state, probably mostly federal money, ultimately, that was expended.
In a press release, Mid-Central Cooperative calls the audit very positive. Co-op officials say they want to maintain the trust of those they serve. State regulators who are undertaking a separate audit have promised to follow the money wherever it leads.
And that's going to do it for another week of Dakota Digest, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For more radio news and SDPB programming information, visit us online at sdpb.org. Also online, you can sign up for our news and information newsletter, so you'll never miss out on the top stories happening in South Dakota. Be sure to connect with us on social media as well. You can like South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and follow at SDPB News and at SODACPB on Twitter. This has been another edition of Dakota Digest on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck, and have a great day, everyone.